Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 1,200 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to.
No empty words and Amen. Amen. How many of you enjoy the ministration by the olives? Hallelujah. It's time for testimony. Say amen. Amen. Bible says that testimonies make us wiser. And I believe that today, even as you hear people testifying of God's goodness, God is going to minister to you. Amen. I want us to welcome Daniel Lamofa to give us his testimony. Please put your hands together. Let's welcome Daniel Lamofa to give us his testimony. Oh, please encourage him even as he comes to the stage to testify of what God has done for him.
Hallelujah. My name is Daniel Lamofa. I'm from First Love Care University, and I'm a member of the RC band. My testimony is about a miracle that I received, I think, around the Christmas season last year. I'm sure it was the Boxing Day service. And I used to be very sick whenever it's time for examination. I remember clearly after BEC, the last paper, when we were done writing, people were jubilating in the bus. I was sitting quietly somewhere because I was sick. And then when I went to SHS2, the same thing. I always get sick when it's time for exams. So at a point, I remember the headmaster, who was a pastor then, and some other pastors, they came to the infirmary to pray for only me because my situation was very tough. And then when I went to the university, too, the same thing. Always, I get sick when it's time for examination. But when I came for the Boxing Day service, and then Daddy gave us a communion, I took the communion, and as I said the other time, that's the only day that I felt that I've been healed after that communion service. So, I went to school, wrote examination, and for the first time, I didn't feel any sickness. And you may be amazed to know, but someone even introduced, someone recommended some herbs. They call it bitter leaves for me at a point. And then I took it, but it was like a relief. It wasn't healing. It didn't bring healing. It would just relieve me for some time. I was admitted in the hospital. I'll be okay for some time, but the thing doesn't go. It was still there until that communion service. And the confirmation is that I wrote the exams and I didn't feel anything like a headache or any disease after the exam. So I want to thank God so much for healing. And then I want to thank Daddy too for the prayers and then for that communion service. I tell you, what the bitter leaves couldn't do, the sweet communion did it. So I'm grateful to God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Some people have the same problems. They are going to bitter leaves. So what the bitter leaves cannot do, the Holy Communion can do it for you. Do you believe it? Shout amen. Amen. We have another we have another testimony. Let's welcome Caesar Abebrese to give us his testimony.
Hallelujah. My name is Caesar Abam from First Love Town Church, and I'm a still photographer. 2 weeks ago, after a shepherd jam, I boarded a La Paz bound trotro at Swan Lake, and I left my wallet in the trotro. Somebody's like, "Sanguine, don't go there, stop it." And so I got to Spintex 18 Junction and remembered that I left my wallet in a random La Paz trotro. And I was like, which one? How will I find it? Because it has my driver's license and many things. So I was very, very sad. And so I sent Ni to go to La Paz at 11 o'clock and just look around. The trotro was red and it packed at Total. You should just see if perchance God will have mercy or something. He didn't find it then. Sunday, he went again. And so, as I was going to church, I was praying that God, the word said, if you believe, when you pray, you'll receive it. So, I prayed, and I went to invite somebody to church. He didn't come, but I told the guy that, look, You don't come to church. God is going to do a miracle for me. I've lost my wallet, but by the end of the day, I'll find my wallet. You wait and see what God will do for me. When I said it, I was still sad, but I just believed it. So we came to church for wisdom impartation service, and I said, well, let me go to Swan Lake Junction. Maybe I bought something at the supermarket. Maybe the supermarket, I left it there. When I got to the supermarket, it was locked. And so I was, okay. So I stood there for a while and said, God, I beg you, please let this structure pass. I stood there for like 30 minutes. But when I was about to give up, then I saw a structure coming. And then I remember that the mate, he had spiky hair, like 7 up. And I said, this is the structure. So I stopped him and said, hey, master, yesterday you left your wallet in the car. I said, yes, say yes, come for your wallet. I was like, wow. Look, I was like, hey. So I took a picture of my wallet and I WhatsApp it to the guy and said, you see what God has done? If you don't serve him, be there. So I want to say that, look, when daddy says the prophecy you believe what will happen to you, believe words, believe what you read in the Bible, believe, because it happened for me and it can happen to you. Amen. If only you believe. Thank you, daddy. God bless you.
Amen. Are you excited about the testimonies? We have another testimony. Let's welcome Fred Metro to give us his testimony.
Hallelujah. My name is Frederick Mekwa. By the grace of God, I'm the chief elder for UCC. Amen. My testimony is short. I want to thank God so much for the life of our father, Bishop Dagi Odmos. Amen. And I want to thank God for the wisdom he gave him to be our father. On campus, all the denominations have their services in the hall, lecture halls and other things. But there came a time when the authorities had to sack every denomination from their classrooms to a park, a congregational park. All the denominations were having services on the park. And it was very chaotic. When you go to church on Sundays, very, very chaotic. All the denominations, you will be waiting in a line to have your own service. And one day I was in church, I think I visited a branch, one of our branches on campus, and I saw they were trying to have rehearsals on the park. And the way the place was, it was a mess. And when it rains, the service is over. And I was in church, and I believe the Holy Spirit prompted me that because you have a good father, you have a church. And on campus, we are the only church with a church building. Amen. Sometimes when I became the chief elder, I get so surprised when I see the youth church, the campus church. We have a church building, and we can have meetings at any time. We can close at any time. After service, we are there throughout the whole time. And I want to say thank you so much, Bishop, I want to encourage everyone. Let's believe in the house that we are in. Let's believe in the wisdom of our father, Bishop Dagi Odmos. And our lives will never be the same again. If you are the son of an elephant, you will be an elephant. If you are the son of a giraffe, you'll be a giraffe. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amazing testimonies. Hallelujah. We have our final testimony coming all the way from Nigeria. People are testifying of God's goodness. Amen. So we have a testimony coming from Nigeria, and I like to read the testimony. It's a very powerful testimony. Amen. My wife and I decided to have a family vacation this year in the United States of America. We began the process of getting the visas, putting documents together, and asking questions from those who have attended the U.S. Embassy visa interview. From all we gathered, it was clear that it would only take the help of God to get us the visas. On our visa interview date, tension was high, especially when we saw people and families being refused visas. When we looked at the sizes of their folders with documents, we became more tense. Our turn came and we were directed to booth 9. The first question I was asked was, where are you going to? Because of the tension situation, I forgot the answer. But my wife quickly reminded me. I was then asked what I do for a living. I told him, I publish, import, and sell Christian literature. He then asked my favorite author, was, who my favorite author was, without hesitation, I said Bishop Dag Hayward Mills. I noticed he nodded his head. I then asked him if he knows Bishop Dag Hayward Mills. He said, yes, I know him. And that was the end of the interview. The five... Oh, relax. The five of us... Oh, allow. The five of us were given 2 years visas each. I thank God for my connection to my father, Bishop Dag Hayward Mills. Ladies and gentlemen, such a powerful testimony. Amen. People are testifying from all over the world. So if you have people around Nigeria, Abuja, everywhere, tell them to send their testimonies. And I believe it's going to be a blessing to somebody. Amen. Let's welcome Ims.
Let me tell you now all that's on my mind. Out of my family, my many friends, you picked me out. You made me love you, Lord. You made me love your word. You made me serve you when I was still so young. No thanks for choosing me. And you turned me inside out and you changed me. Give me brand new heart, only you. The only one who won my heart that way. And I wanna do all I can just to serve you. Surrender my life just for you. The only one who won my heart that way. Let me tell you now all that's on my mind. When I think about the day you called for me and said, you must preach for me, you must sing for me. Thanks for choosing me, thanks for calling me. Lord, how can I say thanks? Oh, oh, oh. And you turned me inside out and you changed me. Give me brand new heart, only you. The only one who won my heart that way. Tell you now all that's on my mind. No one ever liked me, no one chose me much, no. Yet you liked me, Lord. Yet you chose me, Lord. And so with my life I will serve you now. That is how I will say thanks. Oh, oh, oh. And you turned me inside out and you changed me. Give me brand new heart, only you. The only one who won my heart that way. Thank you. followed other dreams, but now I want to serve you, you and only you. To live and die for, I give my life only to you now and oh, you turn me inside out and you change me, give me brand new heart, only you, the only one who won my heart that way. Serve you, surrender my life just for you, the only one who won my heart today, you won my heart today, you won my heart today, only you, the only one who won my heart today.
Amen. Hallelujah. Do you want to hear another ministration? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Aira. Day. The Hallelujah. How many of you are excited you are in church? Well, it's time for the word of God. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, every single week we have been blessed by our Father's words. And today another powerful word is coming to you. If you're excited, help me welcome Bishop Dagwood Mills.
Lord has given for you and me so we can see. Oh, I see the light the Lord has given. Oh, I see the light. Oh, I see the light the Lord has given for you.
Hallelujah. We lift our hands, Father, and we receive your wonderful wisdom. Thank you. Thank you on everyone here for glory, for power, for mercies. We receive it in Jesus' name. Receive wisdom. You may be seated. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The wisdom of God is in a mystery. So today, I'm sharing with you the wisdom of God, which is in a mystery. You will not understand everything. Don't worry. It's in a mystery. You understand some. Some you will not understand. Okay? But the one that you understand is the one that is being revealed to you. Now it says, even the hidden wisdom. Even the what?
The hidden wisdom.
Which God ordained before the world. Amen. Unto our glory. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained. When you say somebody is ordained or it is ordained, what does it mean? Is determined or chosen. Is ordained or it is ordained to happen. Isn't it? You were ordained to marry me. It means you were chosen. I mean, like, it's been like you are anointed to marry me. Do you understand? So when you tell somebody that you are ordained to marry me, it means you is determined. You've been chosen for that. Do you understand? So it says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Okay? It's hidden. People in the world cannot see that it is wisdom. This is hidden from the eyes of many people. They don't see it. They don't see it. Even in Ghana, I'll show you something. You can check or write it down to see if what I'm saying is true. The most organized places. You are assuring the bishop, look, direct him properly. You know him. Please, Bishop, come forward with your wife. Come and get a place to sit. You better... Yeah, the space over there. You are a bishop's son, so go somewhere, find another. Yeah. Why not? You are welcome. Now, what was I saying? Most organized places in Ghana are churches. Yeah. Most what? Organized. Is that not so? And some of the most disorganized places in the country, you know. I don't have to say. Everywhere. Huh? I hear somebody won, is it $60,000 or what? Canadian. He betted that there will be floods in Ghana this year. And he's won. He should have seen it. He should come and see us for more things to bet. He should come and see us for more things to bet. Confusion. Hey. But I didn't know there were such bets. Are they betting about the elections too? Some free money somewhere. We are going for election. We don't know what are the rules. When we throw in, is it a goal? Or is it a throw-in? Without a goal. If it's a corner kick, is it a goal? Are you adding all? Like if you have 11 corner kicks, is it 11 nail? Do you understand my question? I'm saying that if in the match we have 11 corner kicks, you have 11 corner, I have 6 corner kicks. Does it mean that the scores are 11-6 or plus the goals you score plus the corner kicks 11, maybe you score 3. 11 plus 3, 14. Your corner kicks plus the actual goals. Are those with biometric registration allowed to vote or not? Or they will be added? Huh? Is it a problem? Is it a case that if you don't have, you are not biometrically registered, you can vote or not? Most of the times. Hey! If there is overvoting, like maybe there are only 164 people registered, and when they finish voting, all the people voted total 464. That means 300 ghosts voted. So are ghosts going to be allowed to? Are they? How do you biometrically register a ghost?
You don't have that knowledge.
You don't have the knowledge. Do you have the knowledge? Confusion is what? All the places that add people. If there's overvoting, will we cancel it or not cancel? Or it's just sanctions? So it's free for anyone to be adding. When it's 64, just add 4 to it or 0 or 1 behind or at the front or the back, depending on which one is okay. Is it a problem? Is it a problem? Anyway, so remember, Why are we giving these examples? Because it's in front of you. And you'll be surprised that if you become the leader of that place, you will be the one, the king of confusion. It's called Cock. King of confusion. Yes. Or Q, queen of confusion. Also Cock. You will never be a king of confusion. Wherever you are the leader, that place will be organized. In Jesus' name. Now, the wisdom of God is beautiful and is ordained for our glory before this world began. This world has a beginning. You see, the world we are in, we are in a small part of the world. Yes. Very small. And for our star, our sun, the sun, is actually just a star. We have the 8 planets we know. There were 9, they become 8. All arranged and going around the sun. Different colors. Different feelings. The first ones are made of rock. After Mars is gas. The whole planet is gas. This one is... This one, you can't stand on it. The Jupiter is gas. There's no... Yes. Yeah, it's gas. These are the rocky planet. That is gas. When you look at Jupiter going around like this, there is a round eye. It's called the eye. It's as big as the earth. It's going around like that. Shh. Storms. When you get to Saturn, that has the highest speed of wind. 3,000 kilometers per hour. Yeah. And where we are, nowhere has oxygen. Only here. And here is blue. When you look at us from the sky, it's blue. The first time we saw the earth was 1958. God doesn't care that we don't know. When they sent a rocket up and they put a camera on it, and when it got to the top, then it exploded and the cameras and everything fell down and they went and took the broken cameras. 1958, that is the first time they saw a picture of the earth. We don't know what we are. Small few people without respect for God. Only here that you have animals, life. The temperature on the moon is ranges from minus 280 degrees Celsius to 280 plus Celsius. That's the temperature on the moon. You want to go there? Just the moon, which is the nearest one. The moon is just 3 days' flight. 3 days' flight, you'll be there. Yeah, in a rocket. 3 days. Yeah. As soon as you step out, you are dead. Yes. Either frozen or bent. No air, nothing. But when you come here, there's air. There are animals. There are fish, birds, flying, life. Go to Mars, it's red. Go to Jupiter, it's brown. Go to Saturn, colors, rings around it. And the last one, blue, just like us, Neptune. We are in it small. Before this world started, there was some wisdom. And God had planned that he would give that wisdom to his children. And they would be very wise. And that wisdom was intended for your glory. Say glory.
Glory.
Say glory.
Glory.
You'll be glorious after this service. Amen. Anyone who follows this wisdom will be glorified above a normal person living on this earth. Because everyone who has had the wisdom of God has always been outstanding. Always. You can't have this wisdom, apply it, and not be outstanding. You, by all means, be outstanding. If you want to be outstanding, listen well. And it's hidden, because when you hear, you wouldn't think it can make you rich or it can make you prosper. When you hear it, you wouldn't think that it can make you prosper. Yes. I'll say it again. It's hidden. So when you see it, you don't recognize it. One day I met one of my pastors and he told me something. He said, "Bishop, my wife is very deceptive." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "When you see her, you cannot have an idea the kind of good wife she is." She said, "You see her, she looks ordinary. But what she does to me in the house is amazing. I don't think so far." So, I asked him, "What does she do that makes you think that she's outstanding?" And then we were in a group. He told us just one secret. When I heard it, I said, "I don't think so far, as I've not thought as far as that." Yes. Yes. And since I was born up till today, I've never heard anybody doing the secrets that she was implementing. And so, I realized that he was describing something that you see but is hidden. He said, "She's wild. She's great. But she looks ordinary." And he told me, somebody chose her for me. I had no beloved. And the brother said, "This one is good." And I said, "Why not? Because whatever I've chosen for myself hasn't worked. Why don't I try something that somebody is choosing for me?" You also be glorious. Don't forget, the wisdom of God is hidden. It's like you'll be looking at yourself, "Can this make me rich?" Not borrowing money. If somebody asks me, what is, to me, one of the greatest financial principles and secrets that makes us wealthier than many companies and businesses in this country, and even have a budget bigger than many of the government departments in this country, is only one thing: not borrowing. Yeah. Just don't borrow money. If you have, you use. If you don't have, don't use it. Debt and indebtedness is a social disease. It's an illness that has afflicted so many people who would have done better, including our own country, the whole nation. Woe to you when you are led by people whose only way of doing something is to borrow. Get a loan. It's one of the lowest forms of wisdom. You can't get lower than that, getting a loan. Yes, you can't go lower than that. Yes. It's one of the lowest great ways of thinking is to get a loan. Take it from, you are looking at somebody who doesn't owe anybody and an organization that doesn't owe anybody. Yes. True. It's one of the, it's hidden, but it's hidden. When I say you will just look me on, yes. You don't have it, you don't do it. You have it, you do it. You don't impress people.
That's it.
Don't try to. It's another key. Jesus said, I have not the honor of man. It's one of the greatest secrets to be rich. I don't have the honor of man. I don't need to honor. I don't need your respect. I receive not honor from men. I receive not honor or admiration or respect from men. It's one of the greatest keys to becoming wealthy. People don't have to congratulate you for you to be happy. It's hidden. You don't know. Owing money is a social disease, socio-economic disease. Anyway, so I'm about to continue sharing with you wisdom from the Bible, which again, as usual, is hidden. So, unale wisdom, you may not see that is wisdom. Wisdom 30. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, with Proverbs chapter 30, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and I have not the understanding of a man. Neither have I learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Now, that is enough to chew on for some time. All right. Of course, you will be brutish, is stupid. You will be stupid because you have not learned wisdom. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. He says, I am more brutish than any man. The word brutish is stupid and dull. Okay? So you will be stupid when there are two things you don't do, which is, I have neither learned wisdom. You have to learn. Now, to learn is to add something to you that you don't have. To add something to your existing knowledge. That's why it's sad to teach a scorner. Because he laughs when a new thing comes. One of the commonest things that I have experienced as a pastor is people laughing at me whenever I come up with wisdom or an idea. They laugh. So I've learned not to, even on a construction site, I don't want visitors or people who I don't work with to walk around with me when I'm working. No. Because you have mockers and scoffers who don't understand anything. So when you are doing things, they don't know. And a new idea is not, it's like the brain is too dense to receive an idea. Your brain is lighter in Jesus' name. Ha! Have you had somebody in school, they said the person is dense? dense. It's like a breast which is dense. Even X-ray cannot pass through it. We have different types of breasts. There are breasts that are too dense. So the scan, and it cannot penetrate it. Oh! And when your brain is dense, you are dense and down, the wisdom bounces off your head. Receive a lighter brain today in Jesus' name. Why are you brutish? Why are you stupid? Because you refuse to learn. And learn. I have not learned wisdom. I have not learned. I am learning every day. In fact, my greatest joy is to find somebody who can teach me. Yeah. One time I went to pray, you know, and when I was waiting on the Lord, I felt by the end of the time that I was praying that God has not minded me at all. And that he has not spoken to me. But I didn't realize that he was speaking to me. I was about to speak to me more. So on the last day, in my bitterness of discouragement, of having spent about 1 week staying in one place, praying and not hearing from God, neither by dream or by Bible or reading or any way, I put on the television and God introduced me to somebody who would teach me what I don't know, to learn. And I was watching, I didn't know that that was what was happening. Because I didn't know, I was just watching, I said, oh, what is this? Somebody's on. But as I kept coming back to look at it, and I realized, wow, he was opening me up. He was opening me up. Yes. That is how some people feel when they discover my teachings. Yes, they feel that they have discovered a river. That's how I felt. So I understand people when they say, oh, they are really blessed. Because there is nothing compared. He said, I am more brutish. That I'm more stupid because I haven't learned wisdom. Stupidity is definitely a good description for somebody who is not learning something new. Look at these singers. You know, when they first came around, my first sensing amongst them, especially those who were already quite good at singing, was whether I could determine brutishness, brutish, or denseness of the brains, density. Why? Because you see, when somebody can sing a little, the person feels, I know it all. Yes. That's how it is for people who feel they know. And the first thing you look for is brutishness, if it's a word, or stupidity, or density. The wisdom bounces us. Yes. Why? Because they know how to sing already one song. None of the songs that you are singing today were you singing then. You did not even know. Not even one. But I was watching them, especially those who were good singing, to sing, to see whether that density, to not learn something new again. Then you can be declared more brutish than everybody else. More stupid. To not learn something new that God is showing to you. What you know is a small amount of the things you ever, even what I'm telling you about this, the planets, you don't know it. You don't know what I'm telling you. Eh? You are in the world, you don't know what is happening. And you think things are revolving around you. Yes. Even at my age, I'm learning how to be a backyard astronomist. Yes. Yes. Huh? At my age, I'm learning how to be a backyard astronomist. A what? Yeah. Or a backyard astronomer, if I think that's a better word, or the right word. Yeah, to see the star. I'm trying to spot them. When I spot, I also, that's Venus. The brightest you see in the air is Venus. The brightest of the planets. With the naked eye. Yeah. Did you know that? In this way, he said, I am more pretty because I've not learned anything new. And you must be the most stupid person here because you won't learn anything new. Oh. And nor have I got the knowledge of the holy. The knowledge of God. The one who made all these things. Yes. The stars, the moon, all the things we see. Somebody made it. And the knowledge of this God. Look, you can search through the whole physical world. If there's an angel standing here, you do your hand like this. He'll be standing here smiling at you. And when he decides to move into the physical realm, you should see the angels in the Bible time. When they were trying to attack Lot in his house, he came out and struck all of them with blindness. Is it Lot whose sons they were trying to rape? He offered his daughters and all that. The angels came, they just came out and smite them. So if an angel steps out of the spirit to the physical, there are so many things they can do, including making you sick. And making you blind. He made them blind. They were blind. But you can never search for God with a microscope or a telescope. There's no equipment yet to locate God still. And there have always been viruses and bacteria, very small. Each time they find something that can find. And you see that it's been there all along, but you didn't know. Virus, very small. Bacteria, very small. You can't see. Yeah. Have you ever wondered why you do what we call stool test? When they take just small and put it there and they look, they say, wow. The things that are there. Gosh. Okay, let's carry on. Who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? And who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. Yes. The knowledge of the holy. Without the knowledge of the holy and knowledge of God, you will be stupid. And you are stupid. Verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. When you trust God, He is a shield to your life. Receive divine coverings and protections in Jesus' name. Verse 6. Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Amen. This is one of the commonest practices of especially Christians, is adding things to the word of God. Like God says to be pure, but he didn't say don't wear trousers or that ladies shouldn't wear trousers. So we have our rules, which proves us to be liars, because in the end the ladies are wearing trousers and we are still serving God. When we went to Nigeria especially, our ladies all had to wear skirts. And some of them were climbing the towers because of the, they were filming. Because many of the filming people are ladies. Brothers will not do it. Ladies will do. Not be jealous of a lady when she's doing what you wouldn't do. She's taking your glory. So they had to wear they wore their trousers and they wore their skirts on top of it and still continued climbing. But you see, it's not in the Bible. Don't wear trousers. Or don't wear what is for a lady, because like a long shirt is like a dress. It's like we are also wearing dresses. All those little rules. You know, every time we add a little thing, that shall not watch a film, that shall not do this, that shall not do that. It becomes so many things. You know, so many things. Are you with me? So don't add to his words, lest thou be found a liar. Verse 7, two things have I required of thee, deny me not before I die. Number one, remove from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Are you there? But the first point is what is very interesting to me. Remove from me vanity and lies. Useless things and things that are not true and not real. Take it away. So let us now decide not to be impressed with useless things. Remove from me vanity and lies. I don't want a sister who is not true. What you see is not true. And then number two, it's not true, it's a lie. And then vanity, person is useless. Yes. Remove from me what? Vanity and lies. As you are smiling at me, it's not true. You are not really nice. You have made yourself look nice, but you are not nice. Remove it from me. Useless things. I don't want it. And as soon as you are useless, and lies, Lord, remove such a person from my life and my presence. Okay? Okay? Yeah. Take away from my life a presentation of prosperity, which in reality you are not prosperous. What is this? Looks powerful. Looks great. But there is nothing. When it's time to give something, you have nothing to give. But you are such a show off of money, but there's nothing to you. Are you not tired of vanity? You see, vanity. Politicians talking as though they love the nation. Say no! No! You just switch off the, change the channel. That's why I like James Bond. Because when you see James Bond, look, as he has done a lot of things, so. Jump out of a plane.
Yeah. Huh? To another plane.
And he's falling to the earth. And then he goes and falls into somebody's parachute who is in the air. And he's held by that parachute. And then he goes to fight with the man in the air. As they are all falling to the ground. And then from the air, he's able to catch a plane. Even those on earth are not able to check in because they don't have visas. But he is able to check into a plane from the air. That's why I like him, because I know that he's acting. But at the end, they'll write, James Bond is Roger Moore. This one is this person. This one is all the stuntmen. We know that all are not true. So they're just entertaining us. You get what I'm saying? But the people on television who come on the news, they're also lying and deceiving. But at the end, they don't say, actor number one is this person, deceiver number two, stuntman number three. They don't write their names like that. Oh. Remove from me vanity and lies. One young man, he married a beautiful lady. When it was time for dinner, his wife said, look, I don't know whether either she said or she said, I don't know how to cook anything. I cannot make anything. Look, none of my stories are this, you know, they are not making it happen. Nothing at all. The husband has to go and buy food from the market, cook food and bring to the house, come and put it and organize it that we all, because there is nothing to you. Nothing. Nothing at all. Oh. A brother thought he was getting something good, not knowing that even to enter the kitchen and get to the job, there is nothing. Remove all these vanities and lies from them. That's why sometimes there are people, when their wife died, they don't marry again. Just they say, no. All these are vanities and lies. They'll be taking pictures. Remove from me vanity and lies. Wow. this for my life, oh God. As the person sitting next to you, Chale, is it because of you that preaching is coming in this way? One day, a politician, one of these people, came to see me. And I sat down and said, yeah, you are welcome. And I think he thought I was going to speak in the traditional way. We have seen the good work that you are doing. We are calling on the Lord himself. The lot is cast, but God decides. May the Lord himself help you. He will do it. God will do it. God will do it. He will do it for you. The first thing I asked him is that, why have you come? And I told him, I said, if you were in power, you would not come here. You are here because you have been humbled. If you are in power, you will not come here. When you have power, you will not even see that. You will not even have the eyes to see or to hear. Yes. I said, I know you have been, when you come, you go, you come, you go. When you are there, you are so, you watch, if these people are out, you see them in town, driving Peugeot. You'll be shocked. Yes. He was surprised. I said, "Ba, what are you doing here? It's all vanity. It's all vanity. It's all pretending. It's not real. It's not real. You see this person, you say nice words. You see this one, you say nice. You see this one, you say everybody. How can you be a friend of everybody? You must be lying in one of the sections. Remove from me all vanity and lies. Next time any either sister or brother comes to knock, person open the door, just remember this verse. This person, I remove from me all vanity and lies and deception from my life. Let us have real things. And you see somebody, you ask the person question, say it's personal. What is personal? Come on, clear from there with your deceptions and your whatever. Secretive people who sit down quietly as serpents, not speaking a word, as if they can't speak. One day I saw a certain pastor's wife. And I said, she greeted me, I also greeted her. Hello? I said, hello. I saw another one, said, hello? Hello. Later somebody was asking her, these days I don't see you chatting with some of these other people. I said, me? You don't see me chatting with them. Do you see them chatting with me? When they see me, they become quite as though they are made of salt. They are pillars of salt. These are people who can stand in one room from early morning till evening on the phone. Talking, as if they are speaking Arabic. Continuous speaking. When they see you, they become hello. I say in my head, remove from me all this vanity and lies, deception. You don't have a word. I have no word for you either. These days I don't talk to you. Do you talk? Let us clear from our life things that are not real. You people, those of you who are entering relay, you've seen somebody beautiful, you just say, oh, she's beautiful. Ole. I said, ole. In car, it means you don't know. Ole. Ole. Please, today I'm not preaching for long. Let's carry on. Now, notice verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee. Brothers and sisters, through the wisdom of God, you will be full and you will not deny God. But you must remember that it is a temptation for those who are full to say there is no God. Oh, no, God is not, or whatever. You know. Yes. That's why I said that those who are full of power, like, we don't need God. Yes. They deny you. Yes. Those who are full. Those who have money. Those who have everything. God, I work hard. I'm not like those thieves, pastors, who are just robbing the poor people of money. That's how they talk. And they have money. Our children go to school and they'll point to them in the class and say to them that your father is a thief. Is your father not Bishop so-and-so? He's a thief. Yes, there are schools like that. That's why sometimes people take their children abroad. Is your father not Reverend so-and-so? But you, your father is a thief. He brought some of the offering to pay the school fees. When people are full, they speak in a way. Say, I don't know God. One day I went to a restaurant Sunday evening. A man saw me and shouted. The whole restaurant, everybody turned to look. Hey, you've come to use some of the offering here this evening. He shouted. Lest I be full. When he was stricken with a deadly disease, all his body got finished. His body got finished. And he came to me. Pray for me. Pray for me. He said, the doctor have written on my folder in a red pen. These are the number of days for you. Lest when I'm full, you'll be shouting. Hey! Are you not a reverend? You come to use the money. Church money. But I'll tell you, I have no regrets, no apologies to say that I eat offerings. That's how I eat. That's what I eat. If you have a problem, don't come to this church. Go to another church. It's your problem. It's either a problem or a problem. One day I met a man on a golf course. He was a prosperous man. In fact, it's somebody I even gave a contract to once. When he saw us on the golf course and we spoke to him, you should have seen the words that were coming from his mouth. words. Words of threatenings to God's servants. Threatenings. When I'm full. He was playing golf. It's full. Threatenings. One time Bishop Saki was tying his lace and there was a man there. The man didn't know that he was connected to me. I was standing somewhere. And the man was there, said, look at this man. If he was doing whatever, do you think he'll be here? They are just chopping money, they're coming. He should have been tying his lace with near to another person other than Bishop Saki. No, it wasn't easy for him. No! Bishop Saki sorted him out to the uttermost. Yes. And he told the man, respect yourself. Respect yourself. Hey! Respect yourself. I don't know exactly what it means. He told the man to respect himself. Yes. That man too, when he was dying, he also called. He called me. He of all the people in Ghana, he called me. Can you ask him to? Not once, not twice. He calls it Dark Edward Mills, Bishop Dark. Can you call him to come? When he was full, he had no respect. So you see, what I'm saying is that God will make you full, but in your fullness, you respect God. Amen.
Amen.
Who is the Lord? Lest I deny and say, who is the Lord? That man asked me, who are you? He was asked, who are these boys? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Verse 10. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee. And thou be found guilty. Be careful when you are dealing with the servant of somebody. Because you don't know why the person likes that servant. Yeah. When my father was alive, I could see that some of his workers were thieves. But he never sacked them. And I didn't understand it. They were thieves. Some of them. Yeah. In fact, one day I even showed him, this one I've stolen this medicine. He never sacked them till he died. And I never understood it. One day I also had a servant who was a thief. And I also didn't sack him. Yes. And then I understood that maybe there is something else the person does for his master, which makes the person precious to his master. So you got to be careful when you are dealing with somebody's servant. Because it's to the person that he rises or falls. Yes. You rise and fall directly before your master's eyes. If your master is not letting you fall, nobody from outside can make you fall. Yeah. Even if you don't like me, I can't fall. Because my master, I'm standing before my master. And my master likes me. Hmm. Are you there? Romans 14, verse 4. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Romans 14:4. Who art thou? You are judging somebody that is somebody's servant. It's that's why it says, accuse not a servant to his master. So I am a servant of God. You don't like me? That's your problem. You don't like me? That's your problem. Because I stand or I fall before my master. You see, anybody who works for me, especially directly for me, rises or falls based on how I see the person. No matter what you think, the person is important to me. The person is important to me. Even if you don't like the person. If it's not, that's when I detect that you don't like the person, then I become more liking to the person. It's the wrong English, but you know what I mean. You got to be careful with people's servant, because you don't know what the person does for his master. And you may never know. And I first saw it with my own father. I showed him. I said, this is missing. Yeah. He said, okay. He never sacked them till he died. They were with him. Same people. When he died, they vanished like ghosts. Never saw them again. But they were always with. They always worked for him. You will never know why God likes David. The one who took his associate's wife and killed the husband. And God said, he's a man after my heart. Huh? Who art thou? So any man of God you see, huh? You got to be very careful. Very, very, very careful with a person's servant. A person's servant is the person's servant for a reason. I think servants usually have some secret blessing that they minister to the master. That's what I think. Yes. Are you there? Yes. Numbers chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, marriage is one of the top areas for criticism. And they said, has the Lord even spoken only by Moses? Has he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. Remember that the Lord is always hearing our comments. So be careful in your secret place. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam and said, come out, three of you, to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. Verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, step forward. Step forward. And they both came forth. Verse 6. And he said, hear now ye my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I'll speak to him in a dream. When I deal with normal prophets, I use visions and dreams. That's what it means. Normal prophets, I use visions and dreams. But my servant Moses is not so. And he gave a little qualification into brackets. Who is faithful in all my house? Is faithful. Everything I say, do, he does. I like him. I like my Moses. He's my boy. He's my darling boy. With him, I will speak mouth to mouth. Mouth to mouth. Even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Then he said, and you must take note of this, for those of us who love to accuse servants. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech you, or other words, I beg you, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord. The one they were saying, God, has he not spoken to all of us? And he cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. But I want you to notice, be careful when you speak about God's servants. Whoever it is, just leave him alone. If you feel like commenting, shut up. Go and watch animals on the TV. Leopards, something. Wolves. And leave God's servants. How do you leave them alone? You leave them alone by not talking about them or even making a comment. Has God not spoken? We are all men of God. We are all pastors. But I'm also a pastor. But God also speaks through me. But what I want you to notice something about servants of God. He said, this one is not like that. I speak to him mouth to mouth. Anybody who is close to his master, you have to be a little bit careful with that person. Why? Because to come close is different from even just being a servant. It takes a lot to be close. Yeah. So you have to be careful of people. I said, I speak to you mouth to mouth, mouth to mouth, mouth to mouth, mouth to mouth. Apparently, I speak, and apparently, not in a dark speech. I make things clear to him. I don't hide things from him. I'm open to him. You got to be careful. Careful. When you see a man of God who starts to say visions, dreams, God spoke to me, be careful of that person. Yes. One word you say about the person can send you shooting like a rocket to your grave. Miriam was on the way to her grave. It was instantaneous. She got the sickness directly from speaking. She didn't get it from a bacteria. She got it from speaking about Moses. There is nothing that any man of God is doing that concerns you enough for you to make a comment about it. Or about his marriage. His marriage is his being. You don't have any idea what is involved in his marriage. I don't know what he's experiencing. It doesn't concern you. If the person is divorced 7 times, it's not your concern. It doesn't have anything to do with you. Just try and pray for yourself. Huh? Now you see, they're trying to take on the Ethiopian woman. And God has said that In this case, I don't mind that he's married an Ethiopian.
Bishop.
Actually, God has the rules were made by God. And God can make exemption for the rule that he has made. So maybe you are taking him on a technicality. And God is saying that look at a child. Look at a child. I have made the rule, and I say I've made an exemption in this case and in this case. You made a mistake. You're trying to take God on some technicality. Be careful. So all of us should just learn to shut up and pray that you get a chance to preach. And to be talking about things you don't understand. Yes. Miriam got sick immediately. Sickness struck her immediately. And leprosy was today's type of cancer, HIV. It's incurable. So it was the most severe disease you could get. She was on her way out of this world. If you've watched this film, Ben-Hur, if you get a chance, you can watch. It's a long film. At the end of the film, you see the relatives of the star who were lepers. And it was like, once you have leprosy, you are sort of considered virtually dead. So they keep you, like Ebola, they keep you aside. So it's like, although you are alive, it's like, we know you are dead. And there are a lot of diseases like that now. You are alive, but we know that you are dead. You will escape. You will escape from every such disease in the name of Jesus. Learn to shut your mouth about God's servants. Not that they are perfect, but you'll be surprised that the person is very close to God for a reason. And God has even made an exemption about something like Noah and his drinking. Like, God didn't seem to bother about the drinking. Look at all the people in the Bible. Every one of them was a polygamist. It's like you just take your time as you are talking about people and their marriages. Who was not a polygamist in the Bible? Every one of them. Every one of them up to the New Testament, they're all polygamists. He just told them, if you are going to put away your wife, these are the rules. It's one of them. Put them away. So just be quiet and be prayerful. And don't accuse a servant to his master. Are you still there?
Yes.
Back to Proverbs 30. There is a generation that curses their father. And does not bless their mother. You are not that generation.
Yes.
Verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. All right? It is better to see yourself as a sinner than to see yourself as pure, but you are not washed. So, I can't start my prayer without confessing my sins. Confession of sins is an integral part of every prayer that I pray. Yes. I enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's the first part of my prayer. Enter his gates with giving in your heart. Enter his courts praise. And say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I enter his gates with prayer, with praises, with thanking him, with thankfulness. As soon as I have entered his gates, I kneel down to confess my sins, which are present. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It's not a poem, neither is it a poetical statement. It's a fact. It's not like something nice. Yes. So there is a generation that are pure in their eyes, and yet their filthiness is not washed away. You will not be like that. Woe to you if you marry a righteous person. Your arguments will be many. Because the person cannot see anything wrong with anything and cannot say sorry. You know, in every marriage, we have one who says sorry and one who doesn't. Most of the times. Long discussion, long talking. To say sorry is like extracting your tooth. Is it not, Della? To remove one of your, to say, to get sorry, it's like one by one. Like, just for you to say, I'm sorry about. Because you are pure in your own eyes. Like, you are good to yourself. You are good. To yourself, you are good. I pray you will not have such a person in your life. Hey! One day I met somebody, the person could not do many things. When you say do, this person cannot do this, the person cannot do this. But the person is not pure in his own eyes. So the sorry is fast. So, oh, I am the one. Very fast and genuine. You start to like the person. But when you meet somebody who is pure in your heart, you explain, explain, you see, you give illustrations. You see, in, for example, this is what I'm trying to explain. In the case, if you put yourself in this situation and I'm explaining this happens and this happened and that, how will you? When you finish, the person will be looking at you. Tapping the left leg like this. You don't get it. One day, there was a certain sister. She was pure in her own eyes. Do you know why? Because she was a virgin when she got married. You see, virginity gives you a sense of achievement and purity, which when you look around, I don't see, when I look far, I don't see many virgins. There are not many like me. Yeah. One day I asked a certain brother, did your father speak to you about marriage? He said, no. My father never spoke to me about marriage. So one day I asked him again, did your father ever speak to you about marriage? He said, no. He only said one thing. I said, what is the one thing that he said? Do you want to know the one thing that he said? He said he never spoke anything to me about marriage. Till I pressed, I said, oh yeah, he didn't speak about marriage. Only one. He said one thing. I said, what did he say? And he said, there's only one thing he said, but I don't understand it. Do you still want to know? He said, never marry a virgin. It is a deep saying. But listen, I suspect that it is in relation to this verse. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet they are not washed away. They are actually somewhere. Yes. And when I analyze the friend's mother, yes, never say die. Never say no. Never say yes. Never bend. Never bow. Never yield. Never give in. Never give up. Never bow. Hey! Never koto. And maybe that is why. Very strong. Very strong. He said, don't marry a virgin. That was, I mean, he attributed all those things. Yeah. All right. But I'm not saying that is, I'm not giving that advice. I'm telling you what somebody said. Somebody's testimony. All right. Shh. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are swords, and their jaw teeth are as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Hey. We must always be kind to poor. Who is poor? Poor is relative. Many of you here are millionaires compared to some people. Yes. Yes. You are millionaires compared to some people. Yeah. You may not know. May not have much in your pocket. But relative to some people, you are very, very rich. In fact, I would say that if I was to bring in a whole lot of people from Circle, what is the place behind here? Alajo and what? Aveno and all those who I bring them here. Come and look at you. Look like some posh elitist above, I mean, whatever type of people. Yeah. Is it true or is not true? Yeah. But you are sitting here feeling that you are poor. Verse 15. The horse leech has two daughters. The leech has two daughters. Crying. The two daughters are crying. Give. Give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. Then there are four things which never say it's okay. Number one, the grave. If you go to the grave this week, it will never say enough. People shouldn't come again. These four things are also four things that are continuously happening without interruption. Yes. It never says it's enough. If we have a funeral, it doesn't say it's enough. That is why every form of death against your life to cut your life short is blocked tonight in the name of Jesus. The barren womb. never says it is enough. But the womb that is full, that has been filled, says it's enough. That is why the sexual experiences of those who have not had children and those who have had children are divided by two words. One is, it is enough. And another is, it is not enough. Yes. Shall I say it again? There are four things which never say, hey, 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 hey. It's enough. It's all right. I'm cool. I'm full. I've had enough. One of them is the grave. It never says, I'm cool. I've had enough dead people. I've had enough young people. I've had enough old people. I don't want anybody else to come here. No, never. It's always more, more, more. Then a womb of somebody who is does not have a child. If you are a young girl, you don't have a child, you are a barren womb as at now. You know, it's empty. Barren means empty. No, nothing has come out of it. So the voice that comes from a girl who has not, whose womb has not been filled, and the voice, the words that come from the one whose womb is full, has been filled. I've filled it with two children. I've filled it with three children. Are different words. The one which has been filled, has not been filled, says, it is not enough. I want more. Oof. Come again, come again. Woo, tonight. Woo, tomorrow. I need, wow. And the one which has had it says, it is enough. It's enough. You've had enough. So, those who have been married and have been married to the one that was not failed and afterwards failed have heard two songs. It is not enough. It is not enough. It is not enough. And then the record changes to side two. It is enough. 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 Go away. Go away. Go away. Go away. It is enough. It is enough. It is enough. 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 Those who have not had, their song is different. All I want is more of you. All I want is more of you. Hey! And side two. It is enough. It is enough. Go away, go away, go away, go away, go away, go. Sit down. So, there are three things that are never satisfied. Never satisfied. Darling, come back. Come back. Three things never satisfied. Honey, I want more. Oh, Marley, you see, vanity and lies should be taken away from our house. Hey! All right. And the earth that is filled with water, and the fire that saith not is enough. Verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and young eagles shall eat it. Fantastic. Don't mock at your father. Anyone that mocketh at his father, you got a big thing coming. A raven shall pluck out your eyes. Ravens shall pluck. The eye. You see, you may not say any word, but with your eye, you just look. Isn't it? How many realize you've despised your father before with your eye? Like you look at him. They are coming to start talking again. They are coming to start talking again. Talking, 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 talking. One day I was telling some people, I said, I'm not talking because I'm old. I'm not old. I'm talking because it's necessary. Yeah. It's not that I'm an elderly man. So I don't have friends. When I see you, I have to talk around. That's one of the reasons why elderly people talk. They are lonely. When you come, they start to talk. It's like they need you to chat with them. They've missed you. And you look at them, you mock. It's a poor man. A man who didn't prosper. A man who is not a good husband. A man who's married. My marriage will be better than yours. Wow. With the eye. Let your eye be an eye of admiration, not an eye of mockery. The Bible says that the ravens will pluck them. And you won't see. You won't see well. You won't see. You'll be blind. You will knock yourself throughout life. Knock. Ah, what's that? It's a chair. Ah, what's that? It's a dog. Ah, what's that? It's a lion. You are finished. fear must be in your heart in relation to fathers. My father didn't look after me. My father is a vagabond. My father is a fool. My father is this. Be careful. Yes. You know, blindness is the disease that grips people who despise fathers. If you look at even a nation, the fathers of the nation, you see, when you despise them, do you get it? You become blind. If you take our two past presidents, who, or even from Kwame Nkrumah, but even the ones that are alive that can speak, we are left with two. Let us, sometimes we call them fathers. If they would not be despised, do you see? If they would not be despised,
keep preaching.
You know, a certain blindness could be taken away from our country. Yes.
Keep preaching.
But most of the time, or most at times, the young ones, you have some despisement for the, I don't know. You see, when somebody is older, he's not a fool. It's rather a repository of wisdom. It's a word, and it means like a container of wisdom. If in Christ the person is not wise, he will be a repository of experience. Yes. True or not true? Today what we have in Ghana, we have more than 100 to 1,000 times more context for the same 1979 type of things again. Same. More than. But you see, when you despise your father, you become blind. Yes. So even when, and you see, we have two types of Ghanaians. We have Ghanaians who listen to you, but they despise you as you are talking. It's not. Just listening. Let me take my, start to run. And I mean, stupid man is a fool. You know, I'm a leader. I've been leading people for a long time. I watch people all the time. One of the things from the beginning of the church is trying to uncover disloyalty. You are with me, but you are not with me. That thing. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Huh? The eye that despises his father, the ravens pluck, or the person goes blind. Another word for raven pluck out your eyes, that you go blind, you can't see well.
That's
yes. Darkness will not fall on you. Darkness will not fall on you. You know, if you are in this church and you despise your father, no, even if he's a prisoner. You see, one day one of my first love people came and spoke to me. He said, my father is in prison. He said, my father is a thief. He told me, my father is a thief. He steals often. He goes to prison, he comes, he goes to prison. I told him, look, honor your father who is in prison. Go to him, visit him. Honor him, show him respect in the prison. Go there. I told him, it is important. It's your father. Even if he's a thief, he's your father. You don't know why he's a thief. It may be that thief stealing have been to keep you to go to school. You may not know. Not that it's right, but it's your father. Okay. You can despise what I'm saying, but it's up to you. Can't you see darkness in the nation? I can see. It's like a cloud. It's like a dark cloud. Yes. Let's go on quickly, you know, our time is up. There are three things that are too wonderful for me, for which I know not. Number one, the way of an eagle in the air. The way of a serpent on a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of a sea. And the way of a man with a maid. Amen.
Amen.
You see, when you see a ship moving, how does it move? It's marvelous. How does it happen? When you see a snake moving, no legs, and it can go faster than a sprinter. Black Mamba is faster than 100 meters runners. It lifts one third of the body up and goes up like this, and it's faster than a sprinter. You shouldn't attack a black mamba. If you see it, you leave it. Are you still there?
Yes.
And the way of an eagle in the air. Birds, they can attack other birds. Falcon. You know, American fighter jets are called F-7, F-8. It's named after the falcon which they watched. So fast. So fast. So it's Falcon 7, Falcon 8. It just happens. Fantastic. And that is the way of a man with a maid. It's fantastic. You can't think so far. I don't think so far, madness. So, what is the way of a man with a maid? The way of a man with a maid is the coming together. So, it's like you can't even understand how they can come together. Yes, it's too wonderful. It doesn't even make sense. So, brothers, you must know that there is an inexplicable drawing. It's fantastic the way it's happening. So you must decide as a brother, no girl will be able to pull me without my knowledge of what is. I have to be conscious. It's like you are going to undergo an operation. You say, I won't sleep. I must be awake for the operation. Yes. I cannot lose my consciousness. You say, I'll be awake. So when I began to fall in love with my beloved, And not that that's what I'm talking about. I said, I cannot go unconscious. Yes. So I said, I'm going to take 1 year to pray. Yes. I told her, I said, look, the way of a man with a maid, there is an inexplicable attraction and drawing. And not this what I'm talking about. And I'm saying that drawing, I cannot go unconscious. And just be so that before I realize, I'm with you. Yes. You must know. Any lady you are with, you are being drawn, but you don't know. You see, you are moving. The way of a snake is moving. How does it happen? It's happening, but I don't know what is happening to me. I don't think so far, but I'm far. Hey. It's like it's an unexplained movement. Whether it's a ship on the sea, whether it's an eagle in the air, or a snake. There are no legs, but the movement is happening. The eagle is moving. It's not even flat, but it's moving far. Flying for miles. No energy, but it's happening.
Wow.
One day I met a bridegroom. He was about to get married. I asked him, brother, how do you say? My head is swimming. I don't know. I can't think. I was expecting. I can't think far now.
So family.
That is what will happen. You realize I'm with the wrong person. So how did we get here? How? Me and you. That's why you see that maybe you are beloved or somebody is counseling you before you realize the counselee has become the acceptor. The counselee has become what? The acceptor. You can't understand it. Decide, I will have local anesthesia. I cannot be put to sleep. I must be conscious. My mind must work. I must think. Yes. After you have thought, before you switch off the mind and say, I'm flowing. But you can't flow before you think.
Okay.
After you flow, before you realize you are putting on, and I take the other man, I take the and I accept yourself. What am I doing here with the wrong one? Yes. One day a brother had a dream. He was having a beloved. Then he saw his wedding. Yes. And he was the bridegroom sitting in the front. And as they were playing the song, what song did they play? Da 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 da. So as he was sitting in the front of, he decided to look behind. Because the bride was coming with the father. So when he looked, he said, hey, this is not the one. This is not the one. This is not his wife. It's, yes. He saw it was a different person. And he said, no, 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 no. this beloved I'm taking is the wrong one. He used it to interpret. Yeah. That he was in a situation that when he turned to see, it was the wrong. It was like they are having different weddings. Maybe one here, one at East Chapel, Eddie Chapel, Adley Chapel. And then the Adley, the East Chapel one has come to Adley Chapel. Adley Chapel one has gone to the other side. I don't get it. I don't see why. I don't understand fairness. I don't understand fair things. You will never make that mistake. It's a mysterious drawing. That's why people say, ah, look at that, look at this girl that he has gone for. Why? You don't understand. It's like an eagle in the air. It's like a snake on a rock. It's like a ship on the sea. You can't see anything, but it's moving in that direction. You are escaping from every unexplained movement. You can have this unexplained movement in your heart when you are not married. And you can have it even when you are married. You'll be married and you see that. Shoo, shoo, shoo. You are going where you should not be going. Yes. Yeah. So if you don't learn to detect movements. So that, hey, what is moving? Where am I? I should go back. If you don't take care, you'll be moving. Not understand why. Yeah. So those of you sisters, it's not your beloved. Now you have gone for counseling to either counseling or be counseled. Before I realize you have become take me over. You have become what? Take me over. As you have become take me over, you feel that you have possessed. But as you marry, then you see that the way of a snake on a rock is happening again. Yes. It's going away. It's going away. It's going away. Yes. You see, Princess Diana, she was struggling with this. Apparently, the prince was looking for her sister. Yeah. Yes, it was her sister. Yeah. Then it became her. Accept her. Take me over. And there was another one before. And it also became. Yes. A ship on the sea. So look at the ship over there. It has moved here. You will not move in any unknown direction in Jesus' name. So don't be in a hurry. One day I saw a brother and a sister. They were in one of the universities. And then their beloved was in another campus, one of the other universities. So one went for counseling while the beloved was either in the other school. Hey! Before you could say Jack Robinson, there was a movement. Inexplicable. And there was a take me over. But when they were going to marry, I warned, I said, when you marry, these are the three things that will happen to you. As all of them happen, the brother said, you said it. As I said, it will happen by all means. Yeah, it will happen. I'm moving, but I don't know that I'm moving. You will never move in any direction that you don't intend to move. Are you still around this? Let's go on quickly. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. They will not admit that they are doing bad. People don't admit it. Watch out for people who don't admit it. Very dangerous. She eateth and she wiped her mouth and she says, I've done no wickedness. One lady, when I was in Lagos, she said, as for me, I move with married men. Because I know when I marry, people will move with my husband too. So I'm doing it to them because I know it will be done to me. It will never be done to you in Jesus' name. Okay. Verse 21. For three things, the earth is disquieted, like there's chaos. For four things which it cannot bear. Okay, it disturbs the world. Number one, an odious woman when she's married. Odious. 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 Somebody who fights. Hatred, fighting, quarreling, especially hatred. The world finds it difficult to contain an odious woman. Odious women are women who are meant not to marry. Yes. They are meant to be single. You see. So whenever they marry, it disturbs the earth. I'll say it again. I said that an odious woman is a woman who is meant not to marry. It will be better for her not to marry. Yes. Amazing. Hate is the opposite of love. She cannot love a man. The odious means hateful or horrible. You'll never be horrible. Hey! Now you can see hatefulness in the way people treat even juniors, house helps, friends, people they've quarreled with. You should watch somebody when he's quarreled, like let's say people who break up relationships. How they behave after the relationship even shows you that you made a good choice to decide to break up with this person. It's like, Charlie, it's good I broke up. Oh. Because the manifestations that have come after the breakup. Odious. Odious manifestations. Onaka, it was a good decision. The earth is disturbed. The whole earth. When such a person gets a beloved. Do you know any odious woman? You don't know. So the Bible is lying, isn't it? The Bible is lying. The Bible is talking about something that is not real. It's not in this world. Most of us have seen an odious woman before. Either you are one, your mother is one, your auntie is one. There must be somebody somewhere. Your grandmother, your friend. And you know that this person is not marriage material. Because marriage, even you say that it takes love, but somebody wrote a book, Marriage takes more than love, more than love, more than love, more than love, more than feelings, more than, I feel like, oh, I love you so much, oh, I want to be with you. Look. Please, we beg you. Vanity and lies. Huh? Brother, stand up. Let me pray for you. Lift your hands. Father, may every hand lifted up and every brother never discover by mistake an odious woman. Whatever punishment, oh God, you will give to us, may it not be an odious woman. In the name of Jesus, may we not marry and see earthquakes and disturbance to this world because of our marriage, with numerous meetings of family members, negotiations and renegotiations of peace. Oh God, we pray. Save us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sister, stand up. Let me pray for you. Father, whatever odious spirit is around in any woman here, I expunge it today in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. All forms of inherited hatefulness, inherited horribleness, inherited nastiness, inherited wickedness, inherited quarrelsomeness, inherited cantankerosity. In the name of Jesus, I declare it finally removed and expunged. I overturn every wicked inheritance by the name of Jesus. Let it be so. Be free from an evil inherited spirit from your family in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. The second thing that causes a disturbance in the world is a handmaid who is married to her former madam's husband. That is, a handmaid who is an heir to her mistress. Yes. It disturbs the world. Those of you young girls who go and stay in people's houses and have a mind to take over the house, going to shake your buttocks in the house. She's going to shake it. So that you can be an heir to the mistress. It's a curse which is expunged today in Jesus' name. Amen. Why? Because it's not easy for an, excuse me to use the word, inferior person. Like, not that you are inferior, but like you are in a lower sector. You are the servant to your master and you are elevated. You see, that's why the Bible says the country or the land is blessed when the king or the prince is a son of nobles. Like, he's already used to up there. But people who are newly promoted or newly rich, we call nouveau riche, it's terrible when they come into power. the world is disturbed. True. I've almost finished. And the next one is a servant when he reigneth. It's the same thing. Now, Africa is shaking from the reign of servants. Yes. There are many nations that are shaking from the reign of servants. It's a wild thing when a servant reigns. Yes. This is unimaginable. The whole world is affected, is quieted. Yeah. They are not used to the power.
No way.
They are not used to the power. It's fantastic. They cannot build anything. They cannot do anything. It's very wild. Whatever makes you a servant with a servant mentality, I declare you cured from that curse in Jesus' name. That's why I'm always trying to build churches. Because servants don't build. I don't want to be a servant who is leading. Couldn't build anything. No. I always want to build. I don't want to be this type of person. You couldn't build anything. You were the pastor. Where's the money? Where's all the offerings? Where are all the money that you are collecting and receiving for years and years and years? What have you done with it? No. I don't want that. I don't want that. No. No. From north to south, east to west. No. I don't want it. My greatest fight is with my pastors and my bishops to make them build. Because when a servant becomes a bishop, he cannot build. He has a servant mentality. I must get a car. I must have this. I must get a house. I must do this. I must go here. I must travel here. I must do this. He's a servant. The earth is disturbed and disquieted by his presence as a leader. Yes. Their minds are not. You see, a servant is new to all such luxuries. You watch. If a servant comes into power, you see, new car, everybody, new car. Everybody, travel. You should see British Airways, filled, first class and business class, full of servants who have suddenly come into a certain power, full, going for some days, chopping penny at conferences that are not needed. Yes, British ambassador, he was complaining. He said, I'm sitting in economy class. And these people, we are giving them money. This is what they are using instead of using to develop. One day somebody was sitting on a board, you know, that, and they had been given so many million euros or whatever to do some development. But the committee was made of servants. I think some women's group or some government group. They would not use the money. The government that gave the money took the money back. And many times they take it back. It's like the servants are befuddled and confused by the job. They sit around the table. Okay, let's have one hamper for everybody for sitting on the committee. That's all they can do. Hamper for everybody. And a car for the chairman. The earth is greatly disturbed by the presence of servants when they reign. Hey, verse 24. There are four things which are little on the earth, but are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, but they prepare their meat. The conies, or little rabbits, are a feeble folk, yet they make their house in the rock. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth in bands. And number four, the spider takes hold of with her hand and is in king's palace. Four animals to learn wisdom from. The ants, they are, what the wisdom you learn from ants are preparation. Preparation for the future. Preparation. The prudent sees the evil ahead and keeps himself. Wisdom is either to overcome problems or to avoid problems. Yes. Wisdom is used either to overcome a problem when it has come or to avoid meeting a certain kind of problem. That's what wisdom is for. So the ant's wisdom is to prepare. Prepare. So watch the ant and learn how to prepare. And you see people don't do well in their exams. Some of the courses you chose, you didn't do. It's because you did not prepare. You do not have the wisdom of the ant. Don't tell me that you originally wanted to do adult education in Ewe and Islamic studies or whatever. Come on. Yes. A-level Ewe and A-level Islamic studies. Or what? Come on. Originally, that is not what you chose. But in the end, that is what you got. Or religious studies, English studies, Christian studies. Some of you have gone to do religions, Christianity, whatever, but that was not your aim. You were trying to do law, you ended up doing religions. Prepare. The next wisdom is from the rabbits. He's very small, but he builds his house on a rock. Build your house on a rock, and the rains will come down. Build your house on the rock. And the floods will come up. Amen. Build your house on a rock. Prepare for future. Prepare for things that are going to come that only building on a rock can give you the stability that you need. The next one is locusts. They have no king. They go forth in bands, in teams. Many of my missionaries that I have sent out don't have the wisdom of a locust. Like the locust is wiser than them. You see them going one person to a mission field. But the locust knows that I'm going in a band. A locust knows I can't go anywhere alone. I'm going with all these people. Who have you seen going? Even lions, when they are hunting, lions are so lazy. They don't want to run. They form teams. They go. I mean, one time I was in Kenya on a safari. You know, I was having a camp, so we had 1 hour in the morning. They told us we can see the lions early in the morning. So before the session started, we went out to drive, and we were crossing the road when we saw lions come, a whole group of them were sitting in the car, holding onto the car. And a whole group of lions, they came to cross. A group, even lions know that we are going together. Teamwork. Locusts know it. Lions know it. And here we are, you see us going, one at a time, one. You don't know how to talk to somebody. Come on, let's go together. Let's do something for God together. And the spider, she's in the king's palace. She takes hold with her hands. She rolls up her sleeves and works practically. You cannot do any building project for me that I will not be climbing scaffolding, climbing things. Take hold with my hands. Any science, architecture, engineering, medicine, I roll up my sleeve myself. He takes hold with her hands and is found in high places. You'll be found in high places too. One of the weaknesses of the Ghanaian leaders is we not take hold with our own hands. You'll not find anybody going to certain place. Only election time you see them going there. We only know big manism leadership styles. But the spider takes hold with her own hands and is found in the king's palace. By practically doing things. We can't do anything. Even wheelbarrows, this. But when a Lebanese man is doing Indian, whatever, who they have come here, you see them by themselves, they are there in the shop. But we have a lot of Ghanaian pharmacies. They form a pharmacy shop and go home and leave it for somebody. But the spider takes hold with her own hands and is found in king's palaces, goes very high. Pastors don't have church growth because they leave church growth to all the outreach team. Outreach team should do it. Prayer team should pray. Church growth team should go to church growth. Missionary people should go to whatever. That is why things don't work. It was when Moses was lifting up his hands himself that they were winning the fight. When the leader himself doesn't take hand, he stands and says, look, I myself am leading. I myself am fighting. Nothing works. Nothing works. Nothing works. There is no project you see me doing or anything that I've got that I myself with my own hands am not involved in it. There's nothing like that. No one writes my books for me. Any book I've written, there's nothing like a ghostwriter in my life. Or a pastor who summarizes or takes tapes or transcribes. There's no, none of my book is written from a transcription. I write it myself. Not that it's the only, well, not the only way to do it, but that is what I do. The spider takes hold with her hands and is found high. Far. Far. Far up there. Far high in the king's palace. You can't get into the king's palace. The spider is there. He's gone to the bedroom. Cry. Sending text from the bedroom. Charlie, I'm seeing wonders in this bedroom. This is my seventh night in this bedroom. You'll be there in Jesus' name. There are three things that go well. Yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. Doesn't go back. You will not go back. You will not go back in your fight to serve God. You will not go back in Jesus' name. The lion turneth not away for any. You should see them. You know, you should see them. They stand though. And they'll teach you, never run from a lion. Never run from a lion. That's what he understands. A lion which is stronger and turneth not away for any. You come to a lion, they teach you. Stand if you, I don't know if you ever, but if you are ever in a place with a lion, stand. Don't turn. Don't run. You have made a mistake. You become a deer, a prey. Yeah. Stand there and make your arms as big as possible and stand. They go by size and stand. I watched a film, a man did it. She demonstrated it. I didn't enjoy the film from beginning to end because I wasn't happy with the man for what the experiment that he was doing. Yes. Yes. He stood like that. The lion will stand there. But the lion does not turn away. You will turn away. You will never turn away from the devil in Jesus' name. You will never turn away from your enemies in Jesus' name. It doesn't go back for anything or for anybody. We are marching forward. We are building the church. We are doing the work of God. And nothing is turning us away. If your father is a lion, then the baby is a what? We are children of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And lions, they eat only fresh meat. That's why I give you bloody fresh meat on Sundays. Yes, fresh meat. Lions eat fresh blood meat. That's what gives them strength. That's why you see that I'm feeding you with blood. There's meat. There is blood in the meat. I'm not giving you some biscuits. I'm not here to give you cabin biscuits. I'm not giving you some sugar bread. Blood meat. You are becoming lions that do not turn away. Some of you, the enemy wants you to run away. Through pornography, sex, drugs, different things. He wants you to turn and run from the church. Yeah, he wants you to run out. He wants to tell you, you are a bad boy. You are a bad girl. You don't belong here. There are good people here. He wants you to do like this and start running. But God has given you the anointing of a lion of the tribe of Judah. You are not turning away from anything in Jesus' name. I will not go back. I will not turn away. Turneth not away for any. Turneth not away for any. Turneth not away for anything or anybody. You may be bigger than me. I will not turn around. You see a lion standing there like this. Have you seen a buffalo before? A buffalo is like from here to the wall. Yeah, huge. Or maybe from here to the wall. When you see a buffalo, you'll be afraid. And you see a head, one lion standing. Say, I will not turn. You'll stand. And the buffaloes will look at you. And the buffaloes will turn around. And they'll go away and say, he turneth not away. He turneth not away. He turneth not away. You will never turn away and run. You will never run. You will never run. You will never run. Satan wants you to run away from the church. He said, look, look around. See, these people are better than you. They are not like you. They are not like you. Go out of the church. It will never happen in Jesus' name. A greyhound, a he-goat, and a king against whom there is no rising up. A man who is a leader and there's no disloyalty is a wonderful thing. They go well. They are comely. Amen. Verse 32. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of the milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. Look, pressing issues brings quarrels and strife. You must learn not to press certain issues because it will bring strife. And it will spoil peace and joy. Some of the issues, it's not necessary to press it. That's why some people have lost their beloveds. That's why some people have lost their loves. Forcing of strife. Forcing of wrath. I'm not happy with this and I'm going to make the point. I will point it out. I will dissect. I will show you. I will explain. Hey! One relationship you have come is more than a course, university course that you have come into. Like explanations upon explanations of everything that has to be done. Pressing of wrath brings strife out. Before you realize you are quarreling with somebody you love. A foolish woman plucketh down her house. That was wisdom 14. You never pluck down your house. Stand to your feet, everybody. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Put your hand on your head. Pray for 1 minute for wisdom. The wisdom that is intended for your glory. The wisdom of a locust. The wisdom of the ant, the wisdom of the conies, the wisdom of a lion that turneth not away. Receive grace. Receive wisdom. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Receive wisdom from above in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Lift your hands. Father, we receive from above drops, spiritual drops. We receive your spirit of wisdom, grace. Thanks for your blessing, your healing of brutish and stupidity, foolishness, density, stubbornness, and denseness of the brain. In the mighty name of Jesus. Put your hand on your heart. Your heart is now filled with God's wisdom. You are wiser than even your colleagues. Wiser than your enemies. Wiser than your friends. Because the spirit of wisdom is on you. In Jesus' mighty name. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to God. Then I want to pray with you. Maybe somebody invited you, but you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, lift your right hand up just like this, high in the sky. I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Lift it up high. Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. If you are here like that and you've lifted your hand, come to me in the front. I want to pray with you.
Oh, I'm running to that mercy seat where Jesus.
No. Those guys. Come, if you lifted your hand, come.
We'll provide your healing. Come running to.
God bless you. You want to give your life to Jesus? Come.
Come running. Come running. Come running to that mercy seat where Jesus is calling you. His grace will be your covering. His blood will flow.
Close your eyes and say this prayer. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus. Please forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to Jesus. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I open my heart. I receive Jesus as my Savior, my Master, and my Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, my Father. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Please go with our pastor. You may be seated.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dyke-Ward Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.